day like today, it seems unfair, but we'll do it anyway. Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome, everybody, to the Title and Escrow Commission meeting today, February 11th, 2019. Thanks for everybody coming out on a wintry day and for finding a parking spot. I'll run through a quick roll call of those in attendance. Myself, James Swan, is here. Allison is in transit. Randy Smart, Nancy Franson, David Moore, Perry Babelis, all present. Commissioner Kaiser, Randy Overstreet is here. Reed Stringham, no Michael, no Tracy, and Steve is here. And we don't have the phone today, so we won't do a phone roll call. Let's start out with a review, and I'll take a motion for the adoption of the minutes from the previous meeting.
So moved.
A second.
All in favor of adopting the minutes from the prior meeting, say aye.
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 Okay, let's go with our reports. And we'll start with Reed and licensing.
You have a report. It's fairly straightforward, I think, at least based on my reading of it. We've got Randy here to answer any of your questions.
Does anybody on the commission have any questions? I'll go ahead and take a motion to adopt the licensing report.
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor of adopting the licensing report, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, Perry, any board duties, responsibilities?
No, not this month, thank you.
Okay. I will give a quick report on the ULTA next. ULTA has been extremely busy, as you might imagine, with the legislative session in full swing. And I'll save more of my comments for our hot topic coming up on Senate Bill 121. But I will just say that ULTA Executive Board has had multiple meetings and been up here on Capitol Hill meeting with members of the insurance department, and senators and been negotiating on Senate Bill 121. And so that has really taken up the bulk of their time and energy recently. I will give a quick update on, I didn't bring my notes with me from the convention, but I'll do my best to summarize some of the things that were discussed at the title, the ULTA convention in St. George. And for any of you who were there in the audience, feel free to raise your hand and let me know if I've missed something important. One of the keynote presentations was our friend Joseph McPhee gave a fantastic presentation on wire fraud, shared some very good accounts of where they were, he knows about and is aware of regarding wire fraud in the title insurance business, and it was great to see those personal accounts. Not great in the sense that we want to see wire fraud, of course, but a very good learning experience, I think, for everybody present. Really eye-opening. There were presentations on upcoming developments in the law. There were presentations on the legislative session, of course. Blockchain was also discussed. And there was a great presentation by Paul Newton on disclosure and the role of title companies in disclosing material information that we learn about in transactions. So good experience and great speaker. So we will, there's a board meeting today. I'm sure most of the meeting will be discussing the legislative session, but I'll update everyone next month on the board meeting that happens today. So let's move on to Real Estate Commission report from Nancy.
You know, this month I don't think there was anything that was pertinent. It was more just strictly them getting used to the new board members. that they had, learning to speak up in the phone, which taught me I need to do better. That type of thing. So there really wasn't anything pertaining to title.
Okay.
Nothing more on their public announcement or the caravan. But is this a good time? I did email you and said I had left out how much their caravan cost. I couldn't remember last month. Their caravan costs them $13,000 a year. Just to have it on the record. Thanks, Steve. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Nancy. We have no new business or old business, so we'll go to other business and a legislative update from Reed. Maybe just on how the department bill is moving along.
The department bill is still, well, I'm in the committee's chair's hand. It has not been moved yet. So.
Thank you.
Which means he's contemplating all of the things he wants to do to it before he tells me. It doesn't get moved this quickly, it means he's got ideas.
Yeah, something.
Yeah. But as far as I know, our
meeting
piece,
provision,
meeting piece is still there, and
controversial.
It's going to be there when the substitute finally comes out.
Okay, great. Thank you, Reed.
Yep.
Okay, we'll move on to hot topics. I'll introduce this a little bit with a few comments and then open it up to those on the commission who'd like to maybe say.
Before we go ahead, just a legislation, we ought to say, talk about the mobile notary bill.
Yeah.
You know, has what? It's passed the House, or the, you know, it's passed the one and it's in the other House and it's on the third reading. So, I mean, that looks very positive. It takes effect November 1st, if I remember looking at the bill. So, we all need to get on top of how we're going to handle mobile notaries or remote notaries, you know, webcam notaries, whatever we want to call it. That's going to be a big implementation for all of us. I think it's a very positive thing for the industry.
Yeah. So. Thanks for bringing that up, David. You're exactly right. That does appear to be moving through quite quickly at this point, and don't see any major opposition at this point to slow
it
down.
It looks like a good bill. So
pretty much through. Just needs a last I checked, this is a signature from the governor. So let's move on to a hot topic, Senate Bill 121, which is the controlled business and title insurance repeal. I'll rewind the clock maybe a week and a half. It seems like it's been much longer than that, but it has only been maybe about a week and a half that we learned about this bill. It came out. There was a mad scramble by the ULTA and others in the title insurance industry in Utah to respond to that. The first hearing was held in Business and Labor in the Senate last Tuesday. It was held over. There were a number of title insurance representatives from the title insurance industry who came and spoke at that hearing and voiced their opposition and voiced their concerns. The real estate brokerage group and others voiced their support of it, and at the end it was held over for a few days. Last Wednesday there was a negotiation sort of held between a couple representatives of the title insurance industry, a couple representatives of the real estate brokerage industry, to see if some compromise of sorts could be reached, and on Thursday it was back in committee and passed 8-0. On the condition, many senators on the committee voted for it, sort of conditionally, in that they would vote for it on the floor only if it there was some of the compromises that were discussed made their way into a revised bill. I'll briefly mention a couple of those compromises that are being discussed right now as a draft bill is. A revised draft is being prepared. The two main issues are capital requirements, inserting some barriers to entry with some capital requirements. Some of the discussion points involve how large those capital requirements will be and how to make those capital requirements equitable, if you will, based on the size of the title insurance company and the size of the business that they regularly transact. There was some discussion on using sort of a tiered system based on the size of the county that you're in, and that would determine that, but there's been a bit of pushback about some people who might get some smaller agencies in those larger counties who might get caught up in that. So that's still an open item being discussed. Another open item being discussed is percentages. And by that I mean percentages of controlled business that would be permitted. Real estate brokers are pushing, of course, for no percentages, to just allow RESPA to control. I think the title insurance industry would like to see, and some senators looked like they were open to the idea of having some percentages, given that many of our surrounding states that have controlled business do have some percentages in their statutes to sort of give some clarity and safe harbors, if you will, to the RESPA statute. RESPA will be part of the revised bill, these portions of RESPA, including the sham business test, which is not part of the federal code, but is part of the interpretation of that, I think, is part of the congressional history. I think they're going to actually put that in the idea is to put those that 10-part test, if you will, in those 10 factors in the code. At least that's the current thinking. All still open to negotiation, I suppose, and so we have not a lot of definites right now, other than it does appear that some form of this would likely move forward in some form or fashion is kind of my summary of the issue. Before I open it up, I just want to thank the department for being willing to hear us on the issue. Reed was kind enough to meet with us, and I know that Commissioner Kaiser also met with some representatives of the title insurance industry, so thank you for hearing us and for allowing us to express our concerns with that bill. I'll go ahead and maybe my last comment would be that I assume that if some version of this passes, that as we ramp up to its implementation, to its enactment, that there would be that there may need to be some review of the rest of the insurance code and the marketing provisions, and sort of seeing and ferreting out potential conflicts with the new way of doing business and kind of the old regime, if you will. I haven't spent time honestly looking at that, so I hesitate to speak any specifics right now, but other than to say that as we move along, that there may be opportunities to that we'll need to take as a commission to revisit those rules. To the extent that they conflict with or are unworkable in sort of a new way of doing business. So I'll open up to the commission for comments, and then we'll open up to anybody else in the audience who would like to speak. Randy?
Commissioner, does the department have a position on this? Because I know we have controlled business with regular insurance companies and having agencies on, and I'm just wondering if there aren't some of the same principles at work here.
I believe that there are, and we have concerns about the total elimination of control business. When I spoke with the Senate sponsor, I told him that I was supportive of having some type of threshold, maybe a compromise between 0 and 50, does 25 work, I don't know. But the position that we've taken is neutral at this point. We are working closely with the governor's office. We'll let you know that as well.
If something like this passed without any restrictions or limitations, would that also then lead to having the same or similar thing happen with regular insurance?
I absolutely have that concern. I'm meeting with Governor's Council at noon to voice that very concern. So there are some issues that we have. But what happens is that the council knows on the 10th that we have, because we're removing control business here, doesn't mean something doesn't happen in other sections of the code. I absolutely have those concerns. I was a little bit disappointed in two things. One, in process. I served on business labor for 10 years in the House, and it was never our intent to move a bill to the floor of the House that wasn't prepared then. So just speaking to processes, I was quite disappointed that the committee said, vote on this based on our smiles and promises. It's not the way I would choose to do business, how we did it under Jim Dunnigan when he chaired the committee. So I don't know what the product is. It's awful hard for me to engage in conversation when we don't know what the product is, and it's just made up of promises. I was a little bit also disappointed that, you know, I did talk with the senator, talked with him a couple of times. I don't know that I'm very supportive of the bifurcation of the regulatory aspects of the affiliated, non-affiliated business. I'm concerned that I could regulate very differently than the real estate department regulates. I did talk with Johnny over real estate. Clearly, the realtors, they don't want anything to do with the insurance department. They don't want to be regulated by me. I don't blame them. So, but should it all be housed someplace so that it's all done the same way instead of having different? So I have concerns there. And what we'll see and what they will do is, I think my final comment is, you may recall 6 years ago there was a title bill, and you know, the department took a neutral position and basically said, let's let the industry work through it, see what they can do, see how they, you know, that's a lot of how I'm working with this one too, is I'm going to watch it and hopefully, you know, the industry can work through those differences and work them out without disjointing some of the other things. That's a concern that I have. So, without saying too much more, that's probably all I really want to say. But I appreciate your engagement and your willingness to have thoughtful discussion with the senator on this. I know it's not what you want. I know it's not what you want. And I've seen those type of bills in the tenure that I had in the legislature. But I do believe that it's a fair and a good system usually. Usually the legislature gets it right. But hopefully, through this thoughtfully and slowly, and not cram things down, you know, too much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Nancy?
I appreciate that. I think everybody was just kind of shocked because we all thought there was more due process and more, actually, I'll take it down, discussion. You know, I didn't think things happened without discussion, but one thing that was brought up, and I may be wrong, it said no fiscal impact that when they first got up with it. Wouldn't this be a fiscal impact?
We will have some fiscal impact.
That's what I thought. We
haven't seen the bill.
Yeah.
So it's awful hard for us to determine what, you know, what our regulatory responsibilities are without seeing a bill.
Yeah.
But yes, we will have, you know, how much will it be? I don't know. But we're waiting to see this first bill, this substitute that Senator is talking about running right now, see where it is and how it works. But yeah, it's going to have an effect on the real estate department too. They're going to have some regulatory responsibilities over there. So some discipline measures are, you know, they do it within their existing structure. Under $10,000 is usually the fiscal note you apply when you think you can do it without a lot of existing cost. I don't know, but I think Reed has already addressed that with me as he's looked at the bill. He said we will have some additional impact with this. So how much, I don't know. We'll wait and see what the final bill looks like, and then we can make a little better assessment.
Thank
you.
Federal bill that was passed a few years ago where you had to pass the bill to see what's going to do.
any controlled business there?
There are some.
There are some, huh?
I've got a question. Commissioner, you're making comments about regulation of a business. You know, let's say, you know, you have a total repeal of Section 503, so that you now have a brokerage company, former title company. You know, they're still going to have to come through the insurance department to get that agency approved. They're still going to have to get an underwriter involved. So, you know, aren't we still talking about, you know, whether the parent company is a real estate company or a mortgage company or a law firm or whatever it is, you're still going to have some major responsibilities in regulating a title agency formed by the new, under the new law.
We have yet to see what their bill is going to say, because if the intent of talking with the senator, what I got, the industry wanted, was that if you're a real estate, your title agency that now goes out and buys a realtor, a real estate connection. So there's ownership between an existing title company and a realtor. Or a realtor starts one up and they go out and buy part of a title company. So you have a common connection where the real estate and the title are owned together in either one of those fashions. They will be regulated by the real estate department. That is the intent of what they've been talking about. So if we have another agency that's just a title agency and just gets referral business like it's working right now, then the insurance department would regulate it. That's how I've had it explained to me. When the senator said I was supportive of that, I don't know where he got that idea. I'm not sure where he got that idea, but I'm quite interested to see what the final product is and what the next product is. I don't think it's going to be the final product, but and we are working with the senator, so I'm not sure that's so magical. I really get and understand that the realtors don't want to be regulated by the insurance department. They have commerce, and they want to be regulated by the real estate division under commerce. I have concerns about that. I have concerns about controlled business, as Randy's brought up. I don't know where it's going to come out, but I'm working with Reed and also with Perry to look at what are the ideas, what are the things that we might have that are absolutely essential for us to have in this bill as we move forward. What is it that they want? And if they tell us to do something, what is it? How can we ever? What do we need so that we can accomplish what we need to accomplish? So, as you know, I don't write this bill. I get a little bit of input. I get to say things once in a while, but they don't always listen to me. I can tell you, I spent hours with stakeholders on a worker comp piece. We thought we had a very clear explanation of what the insurance department needs were. None of it got put in the bill. Absolutely none of it. That's like, okay. Thanks for inviting me to the table. So.
I thought, and so correct me where I'm wrong, I thought any company that issues insurance policies has to fall under the Department of Insurance. Is that so? So that's not true.
I don't know how they're going to write the bill and craft it. But they, clearly they want to pull real estate out so that they're not, I haven't seen any language I don't know what, I just have heard the same rumors that you've heard. I don't know.
They're not issuing policy.
Have you heard rumors about this regulatory aspect of splitting it between real estate and insurance?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But no more than what's been discussed here.
All right.
I thought I heard from Glenn that RESPA would be regulated by the real estate. So it's like, are they saying that each company would be regulated by two? Certainly they don't want that, but.
Well, probably too early to know exactly. We'll open it up to folks now. I know Blake had his hand up. Blake, any comments?
Well, I guess I have two questions. One, you may not be able to answer because it sounds like the whole scheme is very fluid and amorphous at this point. I guess my first question would be directed to the commissioner. As I hear it, you're saying that once you see this product, whatever it looks like, you're leaving the door open to opposition by the department. Or as of right now, this moment, you're saying you're being neutral. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
That's correct.
Okay.
So we are neutral right now until we see and understand more.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Second, with regard to all these capitalization requirements, James, I don't know how familiar you are with them. What impact does that have on existing companies? Is this just on a go-forward basis? For a new company that's coming in, or after the real estate company or whatever, the producer of title insurance business acquires the interest in the title business, is that what that applies to? Do you have a feel for that?
I know where the negotiations have been, but it's still fluid. So take this for whatever it's worth. This is sort of where the discussions were. That for existing title insurance, that all title insurance companies would be subject to the capitalization requirements, but there would be a phase-in period. So they would have, say 2 or 3 years, existing companies would be to build up those capital requirements and meet them. So the intention, at least as of now, was to have every title insurance company, affiliated business or not, any new title insurance company that would be formed and licensed after the passage of the act would be subject to them immediately. There's no build-up phase allowed for them. The build-up phase would be just for existing title companies. That's the discussion I'm aware of that's going on. But that's certainly fluid too, because again, fairness is going to come, and sort of grandfathering type provisions will will certainly be discussed and part of that, absolutely, I'm sure.
Who are the negotiators?
That's a good question. So yeah, the way
on either side.
On either side, yeah. So I'll tell you my understanding of who and I was there. So we had a whole group of people that came up from ULTA and otherwise, I suppose. I don't know if everybody was part of ULTA, but big ULTA presence on Tuesday at the hearing. And that was the first time, and earlier in that day, most of the same group was up here trying to contact senators that were on the committee and or not, and feel them out and encourage them to pump the brakes. Hearing was later in that day. It was held over, and at the hearing it was sort of negotiated that there would be two representatives of the title insurance industry allowed into the negotiation, and two from the real estate industry allowed into the room with Senator Hemmer. And so from the title industry, it was Mark Weber and Frank Ivory. And from the real estate side, it was Thomas Wright and the CEO of TRG. I don't know his name. And Senator Hemmer.
Did I hear him?
Scott McCall, that's it. Yep, that's correct. There was a group of ULTA folks in a side conference room, and maybe there was a group of realtor broker folks in another side conference room, and we were sort of, as the negotiators went in and out, everybody was sort of collaborating together and negotiating, and it seemed at the end of that negotiation, you know, there was seemed to be agreement on RESPA being included, portions of RESPA, including a sham entity test. There seemed to be the open items. There seemed to be sort of general agreement about capital requirements, the concept, but not the details. And then percentages, I think the sides were much further apart on percentages. Although at the hearing, if you listen to the audio of the hearing on Thursday, there seemed to be a fair amount of support from the senators to at least some percentages to add clarity. Anyway, that's all. That's the best I know. So I don't know if that helps at all, but I think we're all sort of grasping and wanting to know and understand more, but still fluid until we see a draft, the next draft, I think. So we would encourage everybody, I guess, you know, this is just me speaking and not as commissioner, but just me as a person speaking. I think I would encourage everybody in the industry to be as active as you can or want to be. It's been great to see the involvement of everybody, and so hopefully everybody feels like they're able to participate in that to the extent they would like. So.
Yeah, I have a question about the regulation, because I think part of the discussion was that there was going to be a provision for Department of RESPA, and also that the Department of Real Estate was going to regulate that. Is that part of it? Because I thought that was part of it.
Yeah.
So are they going to take the insurance part of it out and just have them regulate the...
Yeah, I mean, to Commissioner Kaiser's point, that's all been discussed, but how that will function and how that will work and the specifics, we don't know yet. I think we're all anxiously waiting for that next draft to see at least the first proposal on how that'll look. I don't know how to answer that right now, Frank. I wish I knew more, but I think we'll all be learning together over the next few weeks. Matt, do you have a question?
I just had a question. Procedurally, so there was a bill that passed out of the committee 8-0, and that was a one-liner bill, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, they just repealed. That's
right.
Got it.
So that was very simple.
Yeah.
And it was passed with an agreement that they're going to work towards something new.
Yes.
And what if they can't agree on something new? Does the one-liner go to the floor?
The one-liner would go to the
Yeah. Yeah.
And they will, under Bramble, really is pretty fair. He can't be fair. He promised that something different would come to the floor. And since he made that commitment, you will see something different. But it may not be something you like. That's one way of saying it. He'll bring people to the table. With Hammer, Senator, try to get something different that they feel they can get 16 votes on. I don't know that. I certainly couldn't promise that they're going to bring both parties to kumbaya. But I don't know. That's not how I worked as a legislator. I get really disappointed when I see this because. You know, they call the house the people's house. We get voted in out of office every 2 years, and there's a lot higher percentage changeover in the House than there is in the Senate. So people tend to be a little more, I think, accountable to constituents in the House of Representatives. But and it's got to go through two bodies. But there's gamesmanship that can be done. Get what you want, get it out of the Senate, and somebody holds it until the last days, and then it gets a House hearing, and then it goes to the floor of the House. There's a lot of gamesmanship that can be done. I hate it. As Nancy indicated, you know, sometimes you wonder where the discussion is. And I can't remember who it was that I was talking to, somebody on your side of the folks in the title industry said, if we get a lobbyist, that's $100,000. And they talked about, well, who's the lobbyist you'd recommend? And gets pretty spendy all the time if you think that, you know, you've got to go get someone to represent you in the House that can get some of the things that your industry wants and needs in a piece of legislation. But sometimes that's what you have to do. Sometimes that's just what has to happen. And I know the realtors have much deeper pockets. They tend to have deeper pockets. And they certainly have more influence than you guys have.
Well, that's why we're hoping for you, Commissioner. Maybe I'm overestimating the political clout of the insurance department. But it seems to me that if the department were to take a position, that would have some sway.
So without getting into muddy the water too much, I'll go to two pieces of legislation. One is one that we did 6 years ago with you, where it was tended to be small business, big business. The department took a neutral position, and we said we're just going to be neutral. The bail bond industry has had, where the courts have said, we want to be able to have cash bonds and let people do cash bond bail, where you don't have to have a bails bond. It'll have significant impact on the bail, the way we do bail in the state. They would love for me to be an advocate for them, but the reality is that I'm not their advocate. And that's not the way it works. If the governor wants to take a position on a bill, he can do things. For me right now, the biggest pieces that I have in this puzzle is how do I regulate? Once they tell me what I do, then I have to look and see, well, how does it apply if we're going to take the percentages of controlled business? If they went to zero, as Randy has indicated, then I've got to start sharpening my pencil and look at how do I either have to open up insurance regulation to be able to do some of the same things, because we know that it will come down the line. So what do I have to do to be able to protect and be able to continue to regulate are the questions that I have to ask. And I really don't want to eliminate controlled business for that very reason, is that I think we need to have some piece of it. I don't know if Perry wants to speak out on this, but there's a lot in the weeds on this. And until I see the bill, I really don't know how it affects me.
But I guess my view would be, and again, maybe I'm totally misunderstanding, but it seems to me one of the functions of the insurance department is to protect the consumer and protect the integrity of the industry. And it seems to me that this move, this structure that they're proposing, again, you know, we're kind of working on some assumptions and some suppositions, but it has an impact on the integrity of the industry.
It has an impact on title. Are there some benefits that consumers might get out of this? I've listened to the discussion. Is one-stop shop going to be better for consumers than what they have right now? I don't know the answer to that.
Better how, I guess, is the question.
But there are certainly two sides of this story. And I guess what I want to say is I'd like to, but I cannot protect an industry that is not the governor the way the governor does his work. I can remember sitting in a meeting with him where, and I'll admit, as a legislator, Jim Dunnigan, Kurt Webb, Kurt Oda, and I were very, very, very sensitive to small business. We were small businessmen, and we were pretty protective of it. And so I'm going to say that over the 10 years we served on that committee together, we probably influenced state law towards small business. Well, I'm the first year I'm a commissioner, maybe the second year, I've got GBS and these large benefits coming in and wanting to give away free benefits. And the governor's in the room with me. They've asked for a special meeting with just us and these people. And they're complaining. The big brokerage houses are complaining that laws are subject to what the small businesses have wanted. And I'm gonna say, yeah, we did that. And the governor basically said to GBS, go get somebody elected from your industry, or go hire a lobbyist. But I'm not here to tell you what you ought to do and how you ought to do it. It's not my job as governor to protect your industry or protect portions of your industry. And, so I know that's kind of his position. And then he cited as an example his father, who was a railroad worker. And that job doesn't exist anymore. And he said, we have to be able to transition through things. And so I don't know. I have not tried to be an advocate in the 6 years that I've had this job for anybody. I have tried to reason through things to say, what is it that we need so that we can regulate and do the best that we can as a regulator? This policy has incredible change, and as we've discussed, I don't know what the change is. Until I see a bill and can understand it, if it were really detrimental to the department, I would be going to the governor's office and saying we need to kill this bill.
But here's my argument. We're not talking about protecting the title industry per se. Mm-hmm. We're talking about protecting insurance. We're talking about protecting consumers.
Sure.
If you use the governor's example, if you had somebody that was coming into the railroad business that was going to have an impact on the safety of how the railroads run, seems to me that's something a regulator would be interested
sure.
in. And if you're dealing with something that's going to affect the integrity of the type of the insurance product that's being provided, that the department should have a very strong interest.
And we have had those discussions with the governor's office. I'm not going to say the governor himself, but this council, about the fact that you've got a conflict of interest here. You have Fox watching
Fox.
You do. And they acknowledge that, and one of the things that's been brought up is to have a declaration with conflict of interest signed by the consumer. But I mean, you guys have been in this business long enough to know that when a realtor says, where are you going to close? You're probably going to close where the realtor recommends that you close. They have had a lot of say-so in this industry for many, 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 many years. I know Perry and I were talking about it, and she indicated, I told the realtor, can I share the story?
Sure.
She said, I told the realtor I wanted to close over here. The realtor didn't know what to do. Well, I know I did the same thing. I this one's going to embarrass. But Brian Anderson is a longtime dear friend of mine. We were neighbors when we were first married. Our wives are dear friends. They're longtime dear friends. And I said, I want Brian Anderson to close my property. He was in the business at the time, well before he got into trouble. But I just assumed I'd go where I want to go. But anyways, the realtors have long time had interest in this, and they've made a big step to take a chunk, and I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't see that. I don't know where the bill even is today and why they moved it to the floor of the Senate without something that's problematic to me, but it is what it is.
Mr. Commissioner, you did say that you object to the controlled business part of it. That if that goes away, that's going to be a problem. Well, that was the bill they were going to were going to repeal it. So right off the bat, wouldn't you have said, come forward and say, hey,
I've expressed that concern to Governor's Council. I've expressed those concerns to the Senator. I'm not a legislator. I cannot draft the bill. I can't go over the ledge research and say, put this in motion. I don't have those privileges anymore. But I do have a voice with the Senator. He's told me that. He has told me I respect and I want your voice. That doesn't mean he's going to put what I want in the bill. And I do know that I have a voice with the Governor's Council, Chief Counsel. And as pointed out, Perry and Reed and I are meeting with him at noon today. And we'll voice many of the concerns that you have. When I don't have a bill, I don't know, there's just not a lot that I can say this is dangerous to be on until the Senator gives us some language.
At a point, so as this progresses and the bill goes through, and let's say the bill is passed and you have control of business, so all of a sudden, Berkshire Hathaway can appoint its own title company and do this on closing. Berkshire Hathaway can appoint its own mortgage company and do its own closings. Is it my understanding that Berkshire Hathaway's title company would have nothing to do with the state insurance department?
I haven't seen the bill.
But if they get what they want,
that's their goal.
That's their goal.
They've asked for the real estate division to
control it.
They've asked them for the, and I don't know how.
The real estate division would do the audits and make sure the escrow accounts can be expanded. So it seems to me that before the bill is passed, that ought to be brought up and discussed, why it would be better to have the title company owned by Berkshire Hathaway being regulated by the State Insurance Commission as opposed to the State Real Estate Commission. At that, there's got to be a value to let people know that that's a better way to set up the bill.
I share those concerns with you. I don't know how strong my voice will be, but I share those concerns. I am concerned about bifurcating regulation. This bill is being run by real estate people, and how much influence I'm going to have, I don't know. But I share those concerns. The boxes
of the call. Yeah. And that's all we can ask. I mean, that's what I would ask of the department is to say
the department has had the box and they had this discussion with the senator, with the governor. I have not been viewed on that issue.
We don't want you to say you're neutral. We want you to say I'm concerned about the box and the hen house.
But yes,
you know what I mean.
Let's go ahead.
I was just going to say, why don't we do this at this point? If there's maybe Matt Olson maybe had a hand up, but maybe after Matt's comment, we'll go ahead and end the discussion. I think it's been very very good discussion. And then if the good commissioner has a few minutes and wants to stick around and take more questions from folks in the audience, welcome to do so. But I appreciate everybody's input. I think this is really helpful for us as a commission to hear. It's helpful for the Department of Insurance to hear. So thank you everybody for participating in the discussion. Matt, do you have one more comment?
Yeah, just two quick questions on behalf of our agents that we insure, but can someone speak as to the timeline of what we should expect? Are they negotiating for the next 2 weeks? Are we going to see something? Are we going to see a bill this week? Can anyone speak to that? And then the second question, are there insurance products right now that are regulated by two different entities where the insurance commission, or excuse me, the Department of Insurance checks on one and a different entity checks on the other, and the same?
I'll answer the first question last. Okay. We don't have split regulation on anything to my knowledge.
So this would be a first time thing?
What is that?
I was going to say bail a little bit with kind of the court's involvement, but not regulation per se. But
well there's a deal with workers. When I think about regulating the product, you're regulating the marketing of the product. To me, that's the distinction.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say a little bit of both, right? Because companies doing both things, right? They're they're selling a product and they're
right. Well, it sounds like, from what I gather, the marketing of the product, if you've got affiliated companies, is going to be with real estate. I mean, based on what we know so far.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's any, to my knowledge, Perry, tell me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's any other split regulation as far as the marketing goes.
As to the first question, the process. So where it is right now, the bill as it stands is 121 with the repeal in it, and it's on the Senate second calendar. If it comes to the point that it's ready to be heard in the Senate and they haven't made any decisions on changing it yet, but they want to make changes on it, Senator Hemmert will make a motion to circle the bill. So then it becomes circled in a position that it's still early in the session and they'll still work on it. That's one thing they can do. Another thing they can do is they can say, we want to pass it out and we'll fix it in the third reading. And then they'll circle it in the third reading just to say, you know, we're working on this. Can they get 16 votes in the Senate to do that? I don't know. That's tricky to do. But I wouldn't think they could. So I think they're going to have to make some kind of honest effort to make some changes in it to get it out of the second reading to the third reading. So that's where it is right now. You'll probably see it circled. If they haven't figured out how to do it yet, if they have figured and they got language, then they'll run a substitute. Probably it'd be the cleanest way to do it. So you'll see a second substitute, Senate Bill 121, and then they'll move it forward. And there are timelines. Bills go into queues. And this time of the session, it's very difficult to take your bill out of the queue and move it in front of other bills. Can't do that. The last week of the session, that does happen, where they what they call wipe the board. Some of you may be familiar with that. So it's in queue right now, and legislators like it to stay in queue because they know you start messing with it, you circle it, you drop it back, then it slows the bill down. So I think there'll be every effort to try to get some type of kumbaya and a second substitute before it hits the second meeting calendar so that they can pass it out, but I don't know. But that's the process right now. How long that will take, I don't know.
James, do you know, is there another negotiation session that's set up?
I'm not aware of one.
Okay.
So no, I don't know what the next step is. I mean, perhaps I surmise that the next step is legislative council is drafting what the parties have agreed to so far, but I don't know that. Okay, thank you everybody. We'll go ahead and wrap things up. We'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'm gonna add that Allison didn't get here.
Yeah, make sure we get on the record. Allison, yeah, she needs full credit for that drive. I'll take a motion to adjourn. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, everybody.
Aye.
Cool. Get off.